Well, here we are, another week, another episode of the Semi-Seminary. And this week, we talk about gods that don't exist. It's a far too common story of people who were introduced to spiritual faith as a child, but as they grew up, they stepped away from faith, often because of a belief in a God that just doesn't exist. Some characteristic about God that they felt he should have, but one that's just not promised to us in Scripture. Maybe that's you. Maybe your spiritual relationship with God isn't what it should be, or maybe it's flat out non-existent. And it might be, and I say this respectfully because if I heard your story, I'd most likely feel the same way you do. But respectfully, maybe it's that you're believing in a God that doesn't exist. Today we look at hide-and-seek God. Sometimes we think that God's omnipresence means that we should feel him with us always. And there are times, even times when we think he should be there, and we just don't feel anything at all. We think God is hiding. Why is it sometimes we just don't feel God near us? Today's installment of the Semi-Seminary and Hide and Seek God. I'll see you on the other side. So go ahead and get started this evening. The topic of tonight's discussion kind of came out of the lessons that we've been having on Sunday at Sunday school. Our Sunday school class kind of began last Sunday in a conversation we had about how when we grow up as kids and we learn about the Bible and we become adults, sometimes we walk, there are people that sometimes will challenge church or maybe walk away from church or they'll walk away from their faith because the God that they were taught about when they were children, when we grow up and we are faced with the difficulties of the world, sometimes that God doesn't exist. Sometimes I feel like there are people that maybe walk away from the church or they walk away from faith because they've been disappointed by a God that just doesn't exist. And so I would like, just in maybe different settings like this, and maybe we're going to talk more about it on Sunday mornings. If you'd like to be a part of that Sunday school class, I want to invite you. Come on down on Sunday morning. We'll be cooking you breakfast for you, and that we will serve breakfast at 9:15, and we'll continue our Sunday school discussion right here at 9:30 next Sunday. So I'd certainly enjoy you, invite you to come down for that. So in just different settings, I'd like to talk about. As I think about them, a lot of this, that idea there comes from Andy Stanley, who's Charles Stanley's son, a famous pastor from the Atlanta area. And that's kind of his, that's his ministry vision, is that he recognizes that there are people in the world that have walked away from Christianity, that they have walked away from their faith, because they, at some point along the line, were taught about a God that just doesn't exist. And so, I'd like to think about some different gods that people have. And maybe we could take a look at them. Tonight, I'd like to talk about what we could call the hide-and-seek God. Right? I want to believe in God, but I don't feel God. How do you believe in a God that you can't see or that you can't hear speak audibly, that you don't feel, right? I want to believe in God, but I don't feel him. Right? Now, I wonder, have you felt God's presence today? Right? Now, let me ask you, interestingly, how do you know that you felt God? Think about it. How do you know? What would you say? You know, you get goosebumps or you get that tingly, wingly, ingly feeling, right? Maybe sometimes you feel God and you're overcome with the presence of God. You start crying, right? Maybe it's just a peaceful, easy feeling. Sometimes, I don't know. So let me ask you, if you didn't feel God today, whose fault is that? Think about it. Was it God's fault? God might be looking at you and say, you know what, I don't like your attitude this week, right? So I'm going to give myself to everybody else but you. Next week, maybe, right, if you're better. Right? Is it God's fault? Is it our fault? Is it that our spiritual antennas just weren't up and tuned the right way? What do you do if you don't feel God? So what I want to do this evening, hopefully, is to perhaps show you that the presence of God is so much bigger than our feelings. And to introduce this talk, I would like to say, and you've got should have a little note there, and that's this truth, that if you don't always feel the presence of God, you're not alone. If you don't always feel the presence of God, friends, the good news is you are not alone. Let's look at the 88th Psalm for a moment, if you will, verses 13 and 14. The psalmist, you can feel the frustration, I think, as he cries out and says, "But God, I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer goes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me? God, I need your help. I need to feel your presence right now, but it's like for some reason heaven is silent. It's like there is a ceiling that is somehow blocking me from knowing you, God. I need your presence, but you're not even there. God, why do you reject me?" And we can look at some of the spiritual greats that we find in the Bible. David had very intimate times with God. A man after God's own heart, right? "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil." That's David saying that. Why? "For you are with me." And other times, David cries out to God, "Where are you? I can't feel you. Why aren't you, God, why aren't you answering my prayer? Why are you allowing my enemies to do this to me, God? God, where are you?" Paul, in the New Testament, right? This guy experiences the risen Christ, and he has this heavenly experience one time that is so glorious that he's not even allowed to talk about it. Yet, you know what he did for the first 17 years of his life after he became a follower of Jesus, wanting to preach? He waited. He waited and he waited and he waited, making tents. "God, give me a chance. God, where are you? I don't feel you." Jesus, right? Even think about this. Jesus, who walked in the most intimate fellowship moment by moment with God. On the cross, he becomes sin for us. And I'll be honest, I can't fully explain what's going on here because I don't know exactly what God did or didn't do. Scripture just isn't very clear. But evidently, when Jesus became sin and died for our sins, God was so holy that he couldn't look upon him. And whatever happens in that moment on the cross, the world is going dark as Jesus gives up his life. And he looks up in his most desperate moment and cries out, "Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani? My God, where are you? Why have you forsaken me?" Jesus, God's Son, in his greatest moment of brokenness, "God, I felt you my whole life, and I can't feel you now. Where are you, God?" Now, I don't know if any of you might have read a guy by the name of C.S. Lewis, any of his books. He's kind of like, if you're a Christian, maybe, or maybe you don't know him, he's a literary giant in Christian writing. I'm sure you probably have heard of the Chronicles of Narnia, right? That's C.S. Lewis. He wrote other books like Mere Christianity. He wrote tons and tons of books. The Screwtape Letters is another really great C.S. Lewis book. Amazing, amazing books. And this spiritual giant actually wrote this at one time in his life when he didn't feel the presence of God. Here's what he wrote during one of the painful times of his life. He says that he cried out to God and he said this. He said, "I got a door slammed in my face and the sound of bolting and double bolting on the inside, and after the silence." C.S. Lewis. He went on to say that this had caused him to doubt the presence of God. He said this in a metaphorical way. He said, "There were no lights on in the windows. It might be an empty house." In other words, is God even there? Was that house ever even inhabited? It seemed so once. Why is God so present a commander in our time of prosperity and yet so absent in our very time of trouble? If you don't always feel the presence of God, you are not alone. So what I want to do with the remainder of my time here tonight, so I would like to suggest three possible reasons why some people might say, yeah, I want to believe in God, but I don't feel Him right now. Now, I am certain there are more reasons, but I'd like to start at least with three that might give a longing just to pursue God and the chance of perhaps finding Him in a more intimate way. Thought number one, why don't we always feel God? Number one, maybe, perhaps for some, you're over-sensationalizing it. Right? You're over-sensationalizing. You're doing exactly what the disciples did in John's Gospel, chapter 6 and verse 30. Right? They said, give us some sort of big, bold sign. Give us something clear. Give us something that, you know, ta-da, right, that we can believe in you. They asked Jesus, what sign then will you give that we might see it and believe in you? What are you going to do for us, Jesus? Right? And then they start using the past to increase this argument. Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, and it's written that God gave them bread from heaven to eat. God did this. God did this miracle. That's bread from heaven. Jesus, do something like that. Give us some sense that God is with you. There's some in our world today that may just be over-sensationalizing it. You want to know God. You want to feel it, yet you're looking for that loud, thunderous, audible voice. You're like, I want God to speak to me and it be like, thou shalt breaketh up with that man. Right? You want the angel to appear to you and say, which way do I go? And the angel says, go that way. Over-sensationalizing it.
Yeah, something loud in your face.
That's what people expect all the time. And if they don't have that, then they don't have God. And that's not how God always works. God doesn't always reveal Himself that way. There are times when you may feel Him. There are times when you may not. Right? And we have to understand that feelings are not the only evidence that God is with us. Right? And if you always felt God, then you wouldn't need faith.
Amen.
Right? And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Right? And there are some people just saying it. They over-sensationalize it. They're always looking for that goosebump feeling, that audible voice, when sometimes it is a quiet whisper. Perhaps there are some of you that you are looking for something that is not there because God is with you always. The second thing, there are some, I believe, you may not feel God because maybe, truthfully, your heart is hardened. Maybe your heart is hardened. You were at one point in your life, there was a time when you were close to God, but now your heart isn't as soft towards God as it once was. This is Jesus quoting the prophet Isaiah in the 13th chapter of the gospel according to Matthew, verses 14 and 15. Jesus says this. He said, you will be ever hearing, but never understanding. You will be ever seeing, but never perceiving. And then he said, This people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear what their ears, and they have their eyes closed. Right? They've closed their eyes. What happened? They were close to God perhaps at one time, but over time things and their heart just grew harder. Now spiritually, they didn't see like they used to see. Spiritually, they didn't hear like they used to hear. Perhaps some of us have maybe allowed our hearts to grow hard for the things of God. And we need to understand that the number one cause of a hard heart is sin. Sin in our life, we just talked about this on Sunday, sin in our life that separates, that creates a distance from God, right? Let me explain. If you sin against God, does that mean that God doesn't love you and you're not a Christian? Obviously not. You sin against God, you sin against God, and you're a follower of Jesus,
and you're still a follower of Jesus. But what happens is that sin breaks the intimacy with God. And like we said on Sunday, it causes a distance. Right? Imagine, it's super, super cold outside. It's 15 degrees. It's freezing. Right? We get bundled up in our best gear. We've got an amazing hat. We've got on our earmuffs, right? We've got the ski mask thing. We put a scarf around our neck. We put on full body long underwear. We put on our best coat, big thick ski pants. We've got wool socks on, great boots with the little heaters in them, right? The best gloves that we can find, and we walk out. And what do you feel? Not cold. Right? It's cold outside, but you don't feel cold. Why? Why do you not feel cold? Because there is something separating you from what's really there. And if we continue to let sin rule our life, it's not that God's not there, but there's something separating. There's something blocking us from feeling that intimacy and the goodness of God that is still there. This is what David prayed in the Hebrew scripture. After he sinned, and he did a lot of sin, by the way. And he prayed out to God. He said, create in me a pure heart. Maybe your heart is hardened. Create in me a pure heart. Renew within me a right spirit. Restore to me the joy of my salvation. There may be some of us. All right? And I am not here to heap condemnation on anybody, right? Because if that's you, more than likely you already feel bad, right? But maybe you don't feel the presence of God because you've got some sin blocking the reality that God's already there. But remember, He's still with you. Some in our world are over-sensationalizing it. Some, our hearts have grown harder. Number three, and I hope that many of us are, is this. Maybe God wants to draw you closer to Him. Well, I don't always feel God. Well, maybe it's because God is wanting to draw you closer to Him. I love what the Acts of the Apostles says in the 17th chapter, verse 26. Paul here is preaching in the city of Athens, and he preached this way. He said this. I can only imagine. Paul says in Athens, he says, from one man, God made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth. He marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their land. Right? And then he gave the why behind all of that. He said, God did this so that they would seek Him. He did this so that they would seek Him and perhaps reach out for Him and find Him, though He is not far from any one of us. What did God do? God did this. God created. God showed the glory of who He was. And He did it so that people would reach out and say, I want to choose. I want that God. I want to know Him and I want to pursue after Him. And there may be those times, and this is just me suggesting it, that you may not feel God because God wants to bring you to a place where you have more of a desire for Him. What does deprivation do to us? Deprivation draws out desire, right? If I don't eat, what do I get? I get hungry. If I don't drink, I get thirsty. If I don't sense the presence of God, I might start hungering and thirsting for God. And what happens? Perhaps God is going to create a longing in your heart. Where you might wake up and say, God, I want to experience You today. I want to know that You are with me. And you press into Him. And you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. And then everything is added up unto you. Here's the deal. Anytime that you truly sense in a powerful, even at times a supernatural way, that God is with you, embrace that. Because He is. And never, ever, ever forget that He is with you always. Don't ever, though, forget to embrace Him in everyday moments as well. When we're driving to work early in the morning and we see the sun rise and the colors streak across the sky, you can say, I see You, God, there. I see You displaying Your glory in the heavens. I sense your presence. When you go to work and you do something you're pretty good at, and you feel, you say, I feel you with me, God, because I was created to do this. When you pray for somebody during the day, and you make a difference, or you reach out to somebody, or you give something to someone, God, I feel your presence as you have used me to represent you. If you'll seek him, when you seek him, you'll find him. Because he loves to reveal himself to those who pursue after him.
Well, there you have it. I would love to hear what you have to say. You can connect with me on social media. All of the links are there in the show notes. Also, if you could take the time to rate and review the podcast, I'd greatly appreciate it. Your ratings and reviews helps more people to see the podcast. Take care and be blessed.